Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 361 slide. Visible translated text is as follows to get her pay. He said, I will tell you about the exact time she left here. My stenographer left about 12 o'clock, and a few minutes after she left, the office boy left, and Mary came in and got her money and left. He said she got $1.20, and he asked whether anybody had found the envelope that the money was in. Frank still seemed to be nervous, like the first time I seen him. It was just his quick manner of stepping around and his manner of speech, like he had done at the house, that indicated to me that he was nervous. He then wanted to see where the girl was found. Mr. Frank went around by the elevator, where there was a switch box on the wall, and Mr. Frank put the switch in. The box was not locked. Somebody asked him if he was used to keeping the switch box locked. He said they had kept it locked up to a certain time until the insurance company told him that he would have to leave it unlocked, that it was a violation of the law to keep an electric switch box locked. We then stepped on the elevator. He still stepped about lively and spoke up lively, answering questions, just like he had always done. After we got on the elevator, he jerked at the ropes and it hung, and he called Mr. Darley to start it, and we all stepped out of the elevator. Mr. Darley came and pulled at the rope two or three times, and the elevator started. As to whether anybody made any statement down in the basement as to who was responsible for the murder, I think Mr. Frank made the remark that Mr. Darley had worked Newt Lee for some time out at the Oakland plant, and that if Lee knew anything about the murder, that Darley would stand a better chance of getting it out of him than anybody else. After we came back from the basement, it was suggested that we go to the station house, and as we started out, Mr. Frank says, I had better put in a new slip, hadn't I, Darley? Darley told him yes to put in a slip. Frank came with,